Call to order the regular meeting or the open session of the Ventura Port District Board of Port Commissioners February 1st meeting. Right. Could I have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Brennan?
Present.
Commissioner Rainey?
Present.
Commissioner Stevens?
Here.
And Acting Chair Gardena?
Here. All right, I'll rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. And Brian, would you lead us in that?
Over heart, ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic
for which it stands, one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Now is the time for public comments for items that are not on the agenda. So are there any public comments for items not on the agenda?
There are no public
comments. All right. Seeing none, then we will close the public comment and adopt the agenda.
I move approval.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. And approval of the minutes?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. Motion passes. Okay. So we now have the closed session report. Andy, can you hear us? Why don't we move to board communications while we're waiting for... All right, Andy, can you hear us now? Okay. All right.
We're having trouble with your audio, Andy. We're going to move on to another item until we get this sorted out.
Okay. All right. Move forward with board communications. Any brief reports on port issues by the commissioners? Right.
If I might, it's probably associated, but January 21st was the last King Tide weekend for Ventura County, the coast of California, really. I want to thank Executive Director Pendleton for coming out to the King Tide Walk along the promenade in the city of Ventura. While I was there, I was thinking how watching the just literally the high tide being where it was and recognizing that it was Lake Pacifica out there, and if we got wind and a swell, it'd be very, very different. But also after what I thought about how this body over time has been, every time we do any type of new pilings or any, as we will talk a little bit about earlier, another item on the agenda, we are raising them. We're recognizing that we need to do a better job and be prepared, and you know, for obviously sea level rise. I did on Friday spent the whole day at a workshop with the Coastal Commission, three Coastal Commissioners, and the Executive Director, and the former Executive Director, and the incoming Executive Director of the Coastal Commission, talking about just that, talking about resiliency and about public space and also private space, and the ability to be reacting to it. And it's not an exact science, but could it speed up? Could it slow down? Could it, you know, all we know is that it's coming. And certainly we saw that in the climate change and the intensity of the storms we're seeing. So I do appreciate everything we're doing here. It's costing money. It's something we're paying forward, so to speak. And I think it's not only whatever we pay in dollars now to get the work done is really money saved at this point. So thank you, and look forward to seeing more of that in the future.
Chair Blumenberg and I had the opportunity to go on a boat ride with Representative Carbajal so that he could see the harbor and the storm damage, among other things. I think we had 45 minutes to an hour with him in total. And I have to say, he was quite taken with the harbor. He had not been here, even though he had lived in Oxnard, grew up in Oxnard, and he was unaware of all that we had down here and was quite pleased with everything he saw. So it was good to have him here, and hopefully it bodes well for future work with him. Let's see, with board communications over, let's go back to the closed session report. Andy, can you hear us and speak? No. Okay. So while they're working on that, why don't we move forward with the staff and general manager reports?
Thank you. Couple of items tonight to touch on. On Wednesday, January 25th, last week, both the chair, Mike Blumenberg, and I both had a chance to attend the Port of Hueneme's 10-year strategic plan open house, I'll call it. They were open throughout the day, and I had a chance to go at one time, and Chair Blumenberg had a chance to go at a different time, but I had a chance to see all the great things our port to the south of us is doing, also collaborating with this port district, as we know, as it relates to potential grant funding. It was a nice event, well attended at the time I was there, and had a chance to get caught up with a couple of their staff members while I was there as well, which was great. So a couple of other items that I wanted to touch on that sort of relate to our environmental sustainability efforts that tie into our guiding principles and our five-year objectives. The first is an item that we sent to all of the harbor businesses regarding the California Green Business Network. And they actually had a little incentive program that ended yesterday on the 31st, but folks can still participate in it. And it was the Sustainable Business Challenge. It was a $500 incentive opportunity for businesses here. And most businesses in Ventura were eligible for the $500 incentive to help reduce their operational costs and become a certified green business. Start off the new year with a resolution to be green to get certified by Earth Day 2023. The first step in getting certified is to attend a brief information session with a sustainability consultant. At each session, the host will review the basics of the challenge and help business owners determine the first steps to take and successfully certify their business. There is no cost to participate. So again, there was a sort of a challenge with some monetary incentives, but obviously the bigger incentives are our overall environment, and those opportunities will continue to exist, and we'll continue to put that out on behalf of the city and others. Secondly, something that we coordinated directly with the Surf Rider Foundation, and we asked if they could come out and speak to all of our harbor restaurants about the ocean-friendly restaurant program, something that we talked about as part of our 5-year goals, and working on that first quarter of this year after the holidays. And that's going to take place on Thursday, February 16th at one of our restaurants in the village, on the Alley Restaurant, starting at 9:30 a.m. That was scary. And joining us is going to be Casey Goff, who is the Ocean Friendly Restaurants co-chair with the Surf Rider Foundation. So we've put that out to, again, all of the restaurants throughout the harbor, and we'll continue to send some reminders along the way, but a great opportunity to learn more about that program. And, you know, I also serve on the board with Visit Ventura, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and a lot of their research shows how many people make decisions about where to spend their vacation time and dollars that align with those environmental friendly interests. And so there's something to be said for both being environmentally friendly and profitable at the same time. So hopefully this program will help folks to understand how that certainly could be true. And then lastly, something that I think we may now be in our fourth annual Village Tenant Celebration is coming up in February, which is about around where we've had it each year. Again, let everybody take a breather from the holidays and get into February. It's going to be February 23rd at 9:30 a.m. in what we call the Kelp Courtyard next to Hats Unlimited and our Lost in Sock store. We have a nice event for to give plaques to select recipients for major milestones, such as being with the port for 5, 10, 15, 20 years and so on. And then we also like to give the opportunity to give certificates out to our brand new businesses. Maybe it's a name that's been there, but it's a new owner, or maybe it's a new business altogether. So we're looking forward to that event. And that has gone out to all those tenants at the Village, which is what this is for. And also to those specifically who will receive those certificates and plaques. So with that, that is my updates for this evening.
Thank you, Brian. Any questions or comments from the commissioners? Okay. So we are going to go back to the closed session report. Andy? Nope.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Apparently my headset isn't working so great. This is going to be anticlimactic, but a closed session was held to discuss each of the matters set forth on the closed session agenda. The board received a report from staff and council. They gave direction to staff and council as to how to proceed. No action was taken that is reportable under the Brown Act.
Thank you, Andy. It's good to hear from you. Okay, moving forward with the agenda. Now the consent agenda. Matters appearing on the consent calendar are expected to be non-controversial and will be acted upon by the board at one time without discussion, unless a member of the board or the public requests an opportunity to address any given item. Any public comments regarding the consent agenda?
There are no
All right, hearing none, then we will close public comments. Do I have a motion?
I'll move the consent agenda as presented.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, the motion passes. Now moving on to the standard agenda. Standard agenda number one, adoption of resolution number 3463. Brian?
Yes, thank you. This evening we have with us remotely Oliver Yee, partner with Liebert Cassidy Whitmore, who is the Port District's legal counsel with respect to personnel matters. And we've been working closely with Oliver and his team in providing updates to the HR manual. And I'd like to have Mr. Yee outline those for his presentation tonight.
Thank you.
Yes, good evening. So the HR manual is contains the personnel rules of the district, and as part of a fairly regular and consistent process, we go through updates to ensure there's legal compliance as well as compliance with best practices, and that was done in the case of this particular update for this year's HR manual.
Thank you, Oliver. Any questions or comments on the part of the commission?
I don't have any questions. I just want to thank Brian and staff and Oliver for the update. This is something we need to keep on top of. And I think we hadn't looked at it in quite some time when we took those first looks a couple of years ago now. So thank you for that work. I'm really happy to see particularly the merit increase so we can formalize that process for our employees. I think that's a real improvement, and I'm happy to see that. So thanks very much for the work.
Thank you.
Any public comment? Okay, seeing none, I'll close public comment and see if there's a motion to adopt resolution number 3463, updating the Ventura Port District Human Resources Manual and rescinding resolution number 3419.
So moved.
Second.
Because this is a resolution, we need to do a roll call vote. So,
Commissioner Brennan?
Yes.
Commissioner Rainey?
Yes.
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Yes. Next agenda item, adoption of resolution number 3464, establishing a new employer-employee organization relations policy.
Thank you. And so for this item, Oliver Yee is here as well. Similarly to the HR manual, this is a document that needed to be updated significantly given its age. And LCW worked closely with the district to provide those updates. So with that, I would like to turn it over to Mr. Yee as well give a presentation.
Yes, thank you. And so the employee-employer relations resolution is a document that governs the labor relations between the unions and the district. It was in its current form, 1992 document. We've since updated it to ensure legal compliance as well as compliance with best practices, as similarly with the HR manual.
Thank you, Oliver. Before we open it for public comments, any questions or comments by the board? Okay, open public comments. Then we will close public comment, and I'll seek a motion to adopt resolution number 3464 and rescinding resolution number 2562.
So moved.
All right. Again, because it's a resolution, we need a roll call vote.
Commissioner Brennan?
Yes.
Commissioner Rainey?
Yes.
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Yes. Right. Next item is adoption of resolution number 3465, adopting the final ISMND and mitigation monitoring and reporting program and approving the Ventura Yacht Club dock replacement project.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. This evening, we're going to have a presentation from the environmental consultant that we retained for preparing the CEQA compliant documents related to this proposed project. And that'll be Jessica Kirchner Flores joining us tonight. But before we started that, I did want to acknowledge two gentlemen in the audience tonight from the Yacht Club, who Todd, myself, and staff and the consultant have been working with over these past many months to bring this project to this point. So joining us is David Boatner and Bill Crew. Thank you for joining us tonight. And also from Impact Sciences, don't know that she's online tonight, but Margaret Lynn helped in the preparation of this document. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Ms. Kirchner Flores.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, commissioners. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. Thank you. So as was said in the introduction, my name is Jessica Kirchner Flores, and I am managing principal at Impact Sciences. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the project, overview of the CEQA process, talk about some of the findings, and then an opportunity for comments. Next slide, please. So this project is located at the Ventura Yacht Club Marina. And as you can see from the slide, it's limited to waterside improvements to docks A through E. So these existing docks have either reached or exceeded their expected 40-year service life, and they're being proposed for repair and replacement. The existing docks range from 30 to 63 feet in length. And the project would demolish and replace the existing main walkway of docks B and D, as well as the finger slips and pilings. There are also additional improvements related to ADA compliance, and the new docks will also comply with California Department of Boating and Waterways guidelines. In total, the number of slips at completion would be reduced by one, from 84 to 83. As well, you can see the pilings would be reduced, and the reason for the reduction in the pilings is due to the use of more modern technology that enables the Yacht Club to reduce the number of pilings and the amount of steel while still complying with current standards. Next slide. This is just a visual of where the project is located. Next slide. So as was said, an ISMND initial study mitigated negative declaration was prepared for the project. It was released on December 14th, 2022, The comment period closed January 23rd, 2022. We received comments from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, the Ventura Pollution Control District, and one Native American tribe. All those comments were responded to, and the responses are in the packet. Next slide. And this slide just kind of shows you all of the topic areas that are within the initial study and mitigated negative declaration. So the findings were that there were no significant impacts that could not be mitigated. Next slide. But there were four areas where mitigation was required. Those related to biological resources and the potential for impacts to sensitive species, cultural resources, and the potential for unanticipated discovery, water quality related to the potential for polluted runoff and or trash during construction, and the noise, which is also a construction phase impact where there's the potential to exceed local noise standards during construction. Next slide. So there, as I said, there were mitigation measures proposed. This is kind of a summary of the mitigation measures. So for biological resources, really they're about, the measures are about determining if sensitive species are within the project area. And so there are some pre-construction surveys that are required to make that determination. And then there are also some best practices related to water quality and maintaining the quality of the area to protect sensitive species. For cultural resources, there are processes and procedures for what to do in the event that any cultural resources are uncovered. And then under geologic, but it's also paleontological resources, which is the same if there are any paleontological resources discovered. Next slide. And then for hydrology, quite a few measures related to ensuring that the quality of the water is maintained. So these are all best practices. And then for noise related to potential impacts to sensitive receptors, so residents and liveaboards, there were measures related to the types of pile driving and also a temporary relocation. Next slide. And that's a brief summary. I can definitely answer any questions on the CEQA process or the mitigated negative declaration. And as was mentioned, there are representatives from the Yacht Club who could also answer questions related to the project.
Thank you. Brian.
Yeah, Madam Vice Chair, just a follow-up as well. So tonight you've got those actions in front of you, and then also the board will be asked to approve the project as well. Now, as we know, this any projects here at the harbor are generally subject to the California Coastal Commission process as it relates to that and other regulatory approvals working in and around the harbor. So this is will become one of the first major approvals or the first major approval. And then from there, they'll continue moving forward with their project to the various agencies that they need to receive permits and approvals from. So including at some point downstream will be the city of Ventura's building permitting process as well. So there's more steps to go, but I'm sure they're happy to be here at this point. So thank you.
Thank you. Questions or comments from the commissioners? Brian?
Well, maybe just a comment. Dave and Bill, always a pleasure to see you, and also one of our longest tenants in the harbor. And I'm not sure there would be a harbor if it wasn't for the Ventura Yacht Club and all the long history of going down the rope ladders on the pier and the little boats at that time. So well done, and we are where we are, courtesy of certainly the Yacht Club. I know the Yacht Club previously has done some realignment and piling, and it seemed, I'm not going to, the checklist is there. I mean, eelgrass is certainly more, I think, further south, but got to go through the studies, do all the things, the biological, the cultural, but certainly the idea of improving and making that much more, when I say a viable and maybe less maintenance. And I like the idea there's less pilings. I mean, that's less intrusion on the on the floor of the harbor there, marina, and the idea of new technology, probably better and maybe hopefully better maintenance or maybe being able to maintain with less cost in the future. That's a piece of it. And I just mentioned, imagine, I didn't see it there, but I will ask because you're on there and great presentation, the in terms of the pilings height. And was the Coastal Commission able to give you any direction on what you felt that, or is there standards out there already with sea level rise in mind that piling should be at this time?
So I don't know if that question was directed to me. I'm definitely not the person to answer about pilings. I can tell you, but I think there is someone from the yacht club who could probably talk to the need for the pilings.
Okay, because I apologize. I just thought that might have been part of the report. No worries.
Well, I can also add that the board several years ago had adopted policies regarding higher pile heights as it relates to climate change, tsunamis, other events. As part of the district's review of this project and other projects, we have a third party engineer review the plans for consistency with those requirements and requirements of the departing of boating and waterways as well. So that was done in this case. There were a couple of minor adjustments, I would say, to the not to the piling heights, but to the piling layouts as a result of that effort of having our engineer take a look at that, and the team was able to make that work.
Well, thank you, because that was where I was going, is I do remember we had come up with something, and I'm glad to know the process internally, how we get that out there for folks that have to do that. Thank you. And thank you very much. Great presentation.
The only comment I would add for you, Jessica, and your team, you guys did a really good job on your response to comments. Very thorough. That's much appreciated.
Thank you.
I have a question. So looking on the recommendation, on number D, authorized to file a notice of determination, do we await the State Office of Planning and Research and Ventura County Clerk to, is it just a filing or what?
Sure. So I can answer that. The process is once the project is approved, and this is the first approval for the project. So we will adopt the MND and approve the project today, and then file with the county clerk and state clearinghouse tomorrow. The requirement is that it has to be done within 5 days of project approval. And I believe the process for getting that undertaken, the process for the filing has already been undertaken. And so I think that's going to happen tomorrow, assuming that the project is approved tonight.
Just a question. I want to echo everyone's comments about the thoroughness of the report and appreciate the presentation. I wanted to just circle back to noise pollution. And this isn't, I think, specific to this project, but any overlap this project might have with the Ventura Water Pure project, which also has noise pollution tagged as a potential issue. Will there be overlap?
I think the concern would be if both were undergoing construction at the same time, which I don't believe that that's the case. I think that project is a little bit behind this project. But if they were to start undergoing construction at the same time, then considering the proximity of them, we would have to think about that. But also, this project by itself would not exceed the threshold, right, with the mitigation measures that we have. So I definitely understand the concern, but we did look at how this project would fare by itself as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. I want to see if there's any public comments. Okay. Seeing none, we'll close public comment. Any other questions or comments by the commissioners? Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. So see a motion to adopt resolution number 3465. And again, this is a resolution, so recommended action is a roll call vote.
I'll move approval. Second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Bennett?
Yes.
Commissioner Rainey?
Yes.
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
And Commissioner Bennett?
Yes. Right. Next agenda item is adoption of resolution number 3466 and resolution number 3467. And we'll go first with the report.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. I have a PowerPoint presentation for you. It's relatively brief. It means kind of walking through the recommended changes to the budget, just to give you a sense. I'm joining you tonight is, of course, the county manager, Bob and myself.
Speaker.
Your microphone.
Thank you. So we will walk you through a PowerPoint presentation on the budget. The budget management team is here this evening to answer any questions you might have. If we look at operating revenues, we try to give you a five-year history of what's happened and where we've come from. This shows that certainly there's been some nice increases in revenue there in FY 2021, 21-22. FY 21-22 represents the draft financial statements at 6/30, so June 30th of last year, as presented to the board in September of last year. And then on FY 22-23, that's the approved current year budget. And on the revenue side, you probably saw in the report, we're not recommending any changes to revenue up or down. Next slide, please. On the expense side, same thing, same five-year history with a little bit of information there, same thing. FY 21-22 represents the draft financial statements as of June 30th, as presented to the board in September. And then on FY 22-23, we propose mid-year adjustment. On operating expenses, we have a recommendation for a net increase of $114,000 or 1.6% over the approved budget back in June of last year. Summarizing those areas of increases of expenses, $84,000 for accounting related to the new GASB 87 accounting standards and associated software. Those are items the board took action on earlier in the fiscal year, and now it's the mid-year budget catching up to those approvals. And then the next two items both relate to incurred and potential ongoing expenses related to Harbor Patrol overtime and facilities for ground maintenance, trash, utility, debris removal, and so on as relates to storm activity. Now we have a $5,000 adjustment for marketing related to maintenance staff event support. So there are charges to the marketing department for use of in-house staff for event activities. And this is a reaccounting or an adjustment as it relates to those expenses. Next slide. So here's one of our graphs we'll show you. You've seen this one before. It's a revenue and expense five-year outlook. And the, I guess that's green, bar, vertical bar there shows us sort of at the end of FY 21-22. So that should be June of last year. The area in purple is expense. The area in green, of course, encompasses all the purple and shows that the revenue exceeds expense in current and past years and projected years moving forward. Next. Okay, so really many more of the changes that are reflected in the mid-year budget come as a result of great projects that the district's been advancing and the board has approved in many cases already related to capital improvement projects. You've certainly seen it from all the different things that have been happening throughout the village and throughout the harbor as a whole. This is the full list. I think it takes three pages to put the whole list on here. The intent tonight is not to go through these line by line unless the board would like to do so. It's to highlight some of the larger changes and projects and so on. And for that part of the presentation, I'd ask Senior Business Operations Manager Todd Mitchell to provide some remarks.
Thank you, Brian. Jessica, could you advance a couple slides for me to this one more? And one more. There we go. So these are numbered the same as in the capital improvement table. So we'll start off. You can see I focused on where there is a change effective in the number for the current year, not really reflecting what might change down the road because of a change this year, if that makes sense. So the first one is 1567 Spinnaker Suite number 100 building, proposing an increase of $75,000. The consent item tonight was to approve the second contract associated with the building improvements there, which was the roof. As awarded, we're within budget, but there is a lot of unit costs associated with unknown materials that could be required. And based on the unknown conditions underneath the waterproof decking and the potential need for additional woodwork, et cetera, and the cost, the unit costs, we're proposing an increase to cover the possibility of a cost overrun. Number two is the floating dock, the launch ramp dock replacement project. As you're aware, you're probably aware that this was grant awarded funds for a project. It's taken quite a bit of time to work with permitting and also with DBA to get this project really off the ground. Understanding that if we continue at the pace we're going to do this, it'll be in the middle of the summer. That's not tenable to do the construction. So we're deferring it. The decrease is really a deferment of that $600,000. And that, again, is a result of permitting delays. The trash enclosures, that's an awarded project under construction, decrease of $125,000 because the bids came below our estimated number. The 1449 structural improvements, that's the commercial fisheries building. As you're aware, we are applying for a considerable grant amount under the Port of Wainimi. Rather than spend the money on the project, on the building now, we're going to wait and see how that grant comes out. So we're deferring that for, to see what the outcome of the grant is. Next slide. The EV charging stations, again, this is another one we brought to the board. There is an increase of $118,000 here. However, there is also a lot of offset grant funds that come against that in the following year once the stations are installed and up and running. This also includes $40,000 for 5 years of operating software and maintenance fees. So it's not an inconsequential contribution is that we're paying up front to make sure that these systems are in place and therefore can capitalize on the grant money early. We had also planned to bring in Harbor Village Wi-Fi infrastructure. We've had some conversations, one with one service provider, SkyFi, but you may have seen with some of the reports that their systems have gone down and come up and gone down. I'm leery to go with that vendor initially. So we've spoken to our IT service provider who brought to light a lot of additional concerns about data security, credit cards, et cetera, et cetera. So we're really sort of rethinking that and there's no way we want to make any definitive decisions this year. The Harbor Building roof for 1567 building, this is above Baja Bay Surf Taco Pottery Gallery. That particular building, we just could not get to before the end or the start of the summer season. So again, it was deferred. That project is nearly complete. The 1583-1575 pass-through, if you've walked around Coastal Cone, Boatyard Pub, the inner courtyard between Copacabana and the restrooms, there's a pebbled rock, which is a different aesthetic than everywhere else. And that concrete is actually spalling because of rebar. There are projects with tenants around them that the tenants are sort of like, can we move this along, as well as the restroom project. So we're going to advance that project into the current fiscal year. Next slide. Vehicle replacement. So if you've probably looked that back and noticed we have a lift truck or a cherry picker, that vehicle, the corrosion on the bucket is at the point now where we're not sure that it'll pass the next audit. So we're trying to advance procurement of that vehicle. It was always in the budget. However, due to the market pricing for those kinds of vehicles, we're going to increase the budget. And that still will probably only buy a used vehicle. They're expensive, but we don't really put a lot of miles on them, obviously. So buying a new vehicle probably isn't the best investment. Outside, if you've looked on the outside of the building, right out that wall, you'll have noticed that there's an emergency generator. It's been installed. We did permit and do all the contracting to get this installed in the last fiscal year, but it just really took an extremely long time to go through the city and get everything done, pour the concrete pads, et cetera. So the project wasn't completed on time, but has now been pushed into this fiscal year. And then lastly, recently the board approved the contract for all three restrooms here. That was, I think, last meeting that approved that. And one notable difference is we're already going to have some change orders on the project. One was a discovery of an electrical line that was shallower in the concrete than is by code. So that created some problems, and we had to basically jackhammer off the entire floor and replace the conduit at the correct elevation. And then we also found a structural beam where it wasn't on the original blueprints for the building in another restroom. And then lastly, I'm proposing a further increase because while the contractor is doing all this restroom work, we've identified in another restroom that wasn't part of these projects the need to knock down a wall and replace an old cast iron pipe. The contractor has been extremely responsive. They've got all the materials. They're on site. So we'll probably execute a small change order. This would encompass all of the additional work that's being contemplated here. And I believe that's my list. If you have any questions about capital before we move on, I'm happy to answer any. We do have the tenant improvement. And then lastly, I'll just cover this really quickly. As you know, the tenant improvement budget, we have basically three categories. Schedule improvements, which is basically where we have some sort of obligation or expectation based on a vacancy to do a tenant an investment in tenant improvements. An unscheduled improvement is sort of a catch-all for tenants whose leases come up within the fiscal year and we are uncertain as to whether or not they will continue to renew. And then contingency, which is a bit more random guess, but sort of amalgamating all of the potential costs, the unlikely chance that a lease could be broken early. I'm proposing a reduction, or the general manager is proposing a reduction here of $42,000. And if you go back to the initial increase, 114, but then we had 85 plus 25 plus 25 plus 5, that plus this equals the total increase proposed under the budget.
Okay, so from here, you've seen this chart as well before, and a couple of things we try to do with this chart, which is show the reserve requirement, which is in blue, and that's the reserve policy minimum balance of 40% of expenses, and then what is above that in the gold color is unrestricted reserves above and beyond the board's requirements for reserve. It is from those funds that you pull to do projects and other activities. Additionally, we have bond covenants related to the debt that we have for net revenues to meet or exceed 115% of the current year debt service. Gloria has conducted that evaluation and determined we are consistent with that requirement. So in both cases, this proposed amendment to the budget in terms of these expenses would keep us consistent with both board policy and third-party debt obligation requirements. Next. And that is it. Although I do have within your recommendations, there is a second item that relates to the salary resolution for unrepresented employees or non-represented employees. There was language when the board adopted the budget last year. We inadvertently included some language from represented employees and their MOU in the non-represented salary resolution. So the item before you tonight is to remove that language that does not relate to unrepresented employees. And with that, the team's here if you have any questions.
Let me just see if there's any public comment.
Two written public comments that were distributed to the commission and are posted on the website.
Thank you. All right, so closing public comment, questions from the commission?
Real quick, if you could go back to maybe the third from the last slide, is that possible? Keep going. That's it. This was something we started doing a couple of years ago anyway, which I think is a huge improvement and very, but I want to kind of just ask about particularly the second two items. Are those based on kind of previous experience slash kind of where you know we are with some of our leases? Is that what can you maybe explain your process for those last couple of?
Yeah, so it's there's I wouldn't say as much art as we make it sound, and some there is more science to it. So an unscheduled improvement, those are, so for example, a lease could come up within the 12-month period of the fiscal year. We do a general assessment without getting in there with contractors or anything. How much is it going to cost to redo this suite to vanilla shell to make it leasable again? We generally have a pretty good pulse of the tenants as to the likelihood that they're going to stay and want to renew their lease. And the preponderance is, yes, that they're going to stay. Where you know, there has been communication that there's been some struggle or that there's uncertainty, we would raise a percentage chance associated with that dollar value accordingly. But if we think it's fairly strong, but that's really, that is the bucket of that dollar value, is how many leases are up and could be up for renewal and therefore could trigger something, as well as certain renewals do trigger tenant improvements as well. And then the contingency is literally the likelihood of a lease being broken early, and those percentages are much smaller. And
how is that number? I mean,
literally every single suite, how many square feet, the dollars likely to do per square feet times somewhere between 1% and 5%.
You lost me there.
So picture a massive Excel spreadsheet that lists every suite in the village.
Okay.
Square footage. The dollars per square footage and the likelihood of the tenant breaking the lease early. So 1%, 5%, and then add that all up.
So I'm not sure how much further we want to go with percentages of likelihood of tenants breaking leases.
Okay, well yeah, you're just it is a bit of an art. It's just a guesstimate, to use maybe an inartful term. That's all. I'm just kind of curious.
How about probabilities?
Know. Fine. That's fine. All right. Thanks.
I have a quick. So, is this like a allowance for doubtful accounts?
No. Unrelated.
Okay.
This is basically suites turning over for a variety of reasons. Either the lease ends, lease terminates, and our capital improvements project manager, who is charged with keeping all of our suites current and ready for the next. Tenants, evaluating those suites, knowing what would be needed to bring that suite up to, let's call it vanilla shell, using that dollar amount and then assigning probabilities to that given the numbers of leases we have and so on.
So this is the money to modify or get them?
Correct.
All right.
Correct.
At first, when I looked at it on schedule improvements, contingency, what caught me is, is this a loss of revenue? And then you have an allocation factor on that, but this is basically getting it ready to turn over so that you can get a new tenant in.
Correct. Well, what we would call vanilla shell.
Okay.
Right. And those costs are obviously always evolving in terms of what it costs in the marketplace to do that work with inflation and so on. So again, we look to Joe Gonzalez, our capital projects manager, to help us with estimating what those costs would be per square foot. And then applying that across the village, because that's our, you know, potential cost that we may incur from one year to the next, right? So each year that's evaluated.
Yeah. Well, I liked your allocation methodology on that. That's a good. And then when it changes, you know, it's not exact, it's not a science, but at least it's something that you have a basis of doing. Okay.
Yes.
Quick question about the storm-related additional costs. I think it was $25,000 overtime, $25,000 storm cleanup. With the emergency declaration now out and available, is that something that could be reimbursed through those dollars that we might get?
We are certainly going to pursue it. It is something that actually I have a little bit more information on the next item, but it's fine. But it's perfectly fine to talk about it here because these are costs associated with the budget. The county of Ventura has now been included in the federal declaration. County and California Office of Emergency Services have reached out to us. We submitted a letter to Cal OES. It was really an effort of the entire team looking at all the different impacts to the harbor and harbor area, and submitted that also to our elected officials from city, county, state, and federal. So we did get a response from that. Jessica Roush has been handling that direct communication. I've been identified as the point of contact with the county as it relates to that, and they're going to hold a briefing in the next 2 weeks. A meeting, and they want us to come prepared to demonstrate what losses there have been to date. I think the thing that is somewhat challenging here is that we're identifying areas that we know we're incurring costs. The areas that could be more significant and would absolutely, we would pursue funding reimbursement for these costs in the budget here, but obviously we have to allocate them and they need to be, would be spent, and then we would pursue reimbursement. The other areas that we wouldn't want to allocate money in this budget for are those areas of beach erosion and possibly inner harbor dredging, specifically related to storm activity at this point in time. Understand those could be costs. Those could be things that the district would absolutely want to pursue FEMA federal funding for to help the city and specifically the harbor here deal with those issues.
And just to clarify, if we were to get the funding, they would show up on the operating revenue?
Okay. Any government grant that comes into another government agency must be shown as revenue.
Okay.
We can't reduce the expense.
So as of February to June, we're not expecting any reimbursements.
We don't have,
budgeted,
don't have an estimate to put in.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, at this point, given how close to the end of the fiscal year, I'd rather just show it as an expense. And if we are fortunate and successful in our efforts, then certainly Gloria knows how to account for that.
That would be light speed if we got money before the end of this fiscal year.
I think given our experience, I would tend to agree.
It's documentation.
Yeah,
we're you're done, document some more.
Yeah. Mm.
Any other comments before we have a motion? So do I have a motion to adopt resolution number 3466 and resolution number 467?
So moved.
Second.
And because these are resolutions, there is a roll call vote needed.
Commissioner Brennan?
Yes.
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 Yes. So final item update on the state of emergency.
Yes, thank you, Madam Vice Chair. We have, what we've done is we brought back the PowerPoint from the first meeting in which you made the declaration, but we've added, so all of that information is available if the board would like to discuss any of the prior reasons, rationale, information you had at the time. But probably more importantly, in terms of making a new approval to continue the emergency, I will tell you, first of all, that one of the things that the county and OES first asked Jessica for was, where's your emergency declaration? So your action there helped us to be able to get that information to them quickly and timely and demonstrate the district's concern about the impacts to the harbor. So thank you for that. I did want to outline some things here that just relate to really the how busy it has been over the last 2 weeks by both the board and staff. As you mentioned, Vice Chair, at the beginning of the meeting during commissioner comments, we had the congressional visit from our new congressman, Salud Carbajal, whose district used to be north of the harbor, did touch Ventura, but now I think includes the entire city. Certainly includes the harbor. So So this was a great opportunity, unfortunately, because of the circumstances, to have him here. But as you point out, a great chance to get him out here to the harbor and on the water, thanks to John Higgins and staff from the Harbor Patrol for getting us out there and really getting a very unique view of a harbor that you wouldn't have otherwise. Very helpful in having him see the impacts and get that firsthand view of those issues. As a result of that, he was provided information to us as part of a press release in which he was highly supportive of the County of Ventura being included in the emergency declaration federally. So so that was great. That was Vice Chair and Chair Blumenberg. As I mentioned earlier, we sent a letter to the Office of Emergency Services, OES, requesting disaster aid. That went on the 30th, so just this Monday, a couple days ago. In the interim, we've been having ongoing debris removal since the events themselves. Facilities is contracted for outside services. These are the kinds of contracts and activities that your declaration has allowed me to move forward with. So outside contract for large debris removal, trees, tree branches, telephone pole, John, from 1950s that washed up into the harbor beach area, Harbor Cove Beach, 80, 90 feet, something of that nature, 60, 70 feet. That same company or one of our companies came out and I believe was able to chainsaw that into small enough pieces to remove. But we certainly have seen a significant amount of debris, large debris. That's what we've focused on at this point in time is the large debris removal. Anything that could be, that John would deem to be a hazard to boaters and of course to beachgoers. Although there's not a whole lot of beach there right now, given the erosion. So we've had that Harbor Patrol staff have continued to remove also large debris from the harbor waters themselves, towing them over to the public launch ramp. Facilities has placed debris removal bins at both of the beach areas. We have had, and I think Vice Chair, you mentioned it at the last meeting, we have folks that have been just volunteering. Nothing formalized, just volunteering their time and picking up debris, and we've provided some facilities out there for them to help with that effort. Now, we've also had a larger bin, I think it's 40-yard roll-off, out at the launch ramp for those larger items to be removed, and obviously there's rental costs associated with those as well. So dumpsters are out, launch ramp and beaches and so on. John Higgins has ordered a beach safety signage. And that is in, John, or about to be in, and you're installing that. Yeah. We're good.
We're just identifying the locations. It's specifically unstable cliff because the dune has such an abrupt drop. We measured 19 feet from the base of the dune to the base of the sand. Pretty significant fall for anybody, so we want to put that up there to keep people aware. Those should be installed in the next couple of days.
Thank you, John. And then obviously the action you just took related to the mid-year budget that we started working on those expenses. Of course, we can put all those in bullets. It's obviously the pictures that tell the story so much easier. You can see certainly the debris and the photo in the middle. There would be the company that we hired to begin large debris removal. Photo there, I think right before getting on the boat with Congressman Salud Carbajal and our chair and vice chair and staff. And one of the things that he wanted to be able to see was the impact to the Keys and the docks, you know, the individual private docks that had been damaged and destroyed resulting from the storm activity. So we were able to do that as well. Next. Okay. So that's our report tonight for you. Obviously, given that OES is now made it very clear that they are ready to hear about these issues and these costs, we would certainly recommend to you to continue the emergency at this time. And we should be back at the next meeting with hopefully an update from that meeting with Cal OES and the county about the next steps in the process. So with that, Madam Chair, Vice Chair, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you, Brian. Just open it up for public comment.
Mayor, no public comment.
So we will now close public comment and open it up for discussion by the commissioners.
Hey, thank you, John, for talking about the steep, the fall off and those signs. That's great. I'm glad you're doing that. I guess my question, and I don't know whether you can answer this or not, but is there any way that we could get permission, or would we want to push the sand around a little bit to actually soften that fall off, as opposed to just putting a sign there and hoping people are paying attention?
I think John can help. There's one thing that I was going to say that I forgot on this list of things. Maybe I got distracted as I was writing my PowerPoint. There is a meeting scheduled tomorrow with the Army Corps of Engineers and with a Manson, who has been contracted third year of the three-year contract. Where are they at? Second of 3 years. So Manson will be here on site tomorrow. They're at Channel Islands Harbor now doing the dredging activity there. So they're going to tour. John, Todd, myself are going to be meeting with them and the Corps to survey the impacts. This is the normal time for the federal dredge, and the typical time in which beach replenishment occurs as the sand is moved out of the sand trap and out of the federal entrance channel back onto the beaches. The difference this year is how much erosion occurred. And the concern that we have is that based on what we're seeing and what John described to you, there's not enough sand to make up for that. There's enough sand to typically make up for a typical year's erosion, and this is not typical. So if you have any additional feedback.
I think I would just follow up with, that's the protected dunes. That's our defensive space. So we don't want to interfere with that because it's already vulnerable. The message that we're going to say is that we think that even with the most aggressive dredging that we have set up, we'll be at a deficit. And if that deficit continues, it will cause further erosion and jeopardize our infrastructure, like the streets, the parking lots, and those things. So yeah, you can't really take sand from below and bring it up because you just create the problem elsewhere. So no, we would essentially have to take out the whole dune structure to do that. And that would be short-sighted because then it would be more vulnerable to additional erosion.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Typically, the way exactly what you're saying would be done, which is you're placing sand, you're moving sand around, you're softening what could be risk to public safety and so on. There's just not the sand to do it, and that's the challenge this year. So it'll certainly help, absolutely, to move. What? How many cubic yards are we contracted? 350,000 cubic yards. So that'll help, but it won't solve all of this for sure.
Thanks.
If I might, just one of the things that's interesting. I know we don't have the time necessarily, but you know, as much debris as we can leave on the beach and then put the sand on the top of it, that's what Mother Nature does to build up the dunes and hold on to it and hold on to it a little longer. I know that's not popular. I mean, it's cold, it's wet, there's not a lot of people out on the beaches, but I mean, I'm not talking about the giant stuff, but yeah. If you can, you know, do a first pick, and then if we're getting closer to the dredging, I mean, to me, putting the dredge spoils on top of the debris is an opportunity to help anchor.
Commissioner Brennan, create a
living, vibrant dune system.
Yeah, Commissioner Brennan, you're right on target. We asked the contractors to avoid smaller debris and await the Corps and Manson's visit and see if that strategy that you just outlined might be a viable solution for the smaller stuff. And it's not avoiding removing it, it's using it to help build up. So we'll see what they think, but we're not having, you know, if you see a these kinds of dump trucks and so on avoiding things, it's for that very reason.
An 80-foot telephone pole would hold a lot of sand behind cutting the smaller pieces. Right. Sorry, John.
Yeah, no, we're in sync. That's exactly what we're doing. The one thing that I would say is that the smaller remnants are primarily Arundel, which kind of shreds and has very sharp things, so it might not be the best base to use, because as it erodes, that it will potentially subject people. Good news, it's very lightweight, so if we do decide later on that we need to remove it, it's not going to be as big of a effort as what we've been doing with the bigger stuff that's been more of a priority.
While you're here, and I can see the boats, how are we doing on replacement of the...
Is that part of this agenda item?
Because you need the boats to go out and...
I don't think so.
Just wanted to see if you were listening.
I'm here.
I'll ask him. I'll talk to him offline.
I was going to say, we'd be happy to provide a brief.
Wanted to see if...
All right.
Tested. Good job, Jack.
Just a question about the potential repairs that we might bring forward. I know that we don't control or are able to repair the streets, but the streets seem to have suffered even more damage as a result of the rain event. So I'm wondering if we can place that into a request with the city to accelerate the repairs along the street.
So thank you, Vice Chair. Yeah, we did actually send a letter off to the city identifying street impacts, because you're right. I mean, it was dramatic immediately following the number and size of the potholes and damage. So we included that. There had been additional street improvement requests that the board had asked myself to make. So it was a reminder of those, and then it was, in addition to that, there's now been even more damage to streets resulting from that. Information I have from the city, I don't think it's specific to that letter, but when the city looks to update its emergency proclamation, I've been told that they're going to include the harbor in their updated declaration. So
it's possible that with that updated declaration, we might get some attention. Okay.
Well, it's possible.
Sure. 1-5% chance on that spreadsheet. Any other comments? Okay. So final item then is a motion to update the emergency measures to respond to the impacts to the district.
I'd move the recommended action.
All right. Again, another recommended roll call vote.
Commissioner Brennan?
Yes.
Commissioner Rainey?
Yes.
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Yes.
Did I hear a second?
Yeah, Tony seconded.
Oh, his mic must not have been on. Okay.
Yeah.
We were just testing you to see if you were listening.
I'm still awake. It's only 8:00-something. I'm still awake.
All right. We have concluded the meeting for the night. We will adjourn until February 15th.
Good night, everyone.